This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tennille.
Yeah, I'm being a bit kind of boisterous today.
It's all right, though.
You know, I researched.
You gave me a couple of sideways glances.
I know I did. I'm so sorry for that.
Well, I'll let you lead off.
Okay. So we're really lucky to have in the studio now Lily Fish, from a fringe show called Not Romeo and Juliet. Welcome, Lily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, very welcome. So tell us, you've got a show and it's already performed a couple of times in here in Melbourne.
Yeah, we had a season at midsummer at the start of this year, which completely sold out. It was at La Mama, and so we thought, we should probably do it again because a lot of people missed out.
Yeah, and you've done a bit of reworking with it as well.
Yeah. So we're working with the same director that we worked with for the first season, but tightening it up a little bit. So it was pretty funny the first season, so I reckon the second season's going to be even crazier.
Fantastic. And how much has that reworking had to do with, I guess, our current political landscape?
Initially, not much, because we started reworking it, a couple of months ago. And now recently we're like, this is still really relevant, if not
even more. It'll probably change next week. You never know.
True.
So what are some of those themes that you've got running in the show?
We're really into making work that is queer, but not like in your face political. Like, we're subtly political in that we're really into the idea of representation and just making queer stuff normal. And accessible to all audiences. So this show is actually accessible to all ages as well. We've been really conscious about getting an accessible time, so it's not 6:30, and also making sure that we've cut any swearing from the previous version. So because a lot of people were like, I wish that I brought my kids to see this. It would be really good for them just to see two women falling in love and kissing. And for that to be completely normal, and we don't really talk about it at all, we just cast two women as Romeo and Juliet. And because it's a kind of a clown show, clowns are very naive, so they don't question that at all. For the clowns don't really think about gender or sexuality. It's all good. It's all normal. You fall in love with who you fall in love with, and that's fine. So I guess that's how it's political, and it feels very political, and at the same time, not at all.
But it's I get it. It is political, but it's not. It's become political.
Yeah.
This issue that, we had the marriage equality vote.
Yeah.
2/3 of Australians and a very high participation rate.
Yeah.
Higher than in some general elections, voted for marriage equality, and where yet this discussion still seems to be circling us around this, people saying, they want to change it back, that's not right, it should never have happened. So, the play, the performance is more relevant, particularly making it accessible like that, I think that's really important.
Yeah, it's so important. I've got a little kid, I've got a four-year-old who's sitting out in the foyer today, and it's so accessible for that generation, for their peers, to not think that it's strange to have queer parents or to be queer. And so absolutely, to have this accessible show is so important for me. I also work with this company called Popo Moco. We make a lot of, pretty adult, aimed at adult content, but we're really interested in moving into making some more kind of all ages or kids stuff in the future, because it's so important to just go, hey, this is normal. It's not a big deal.
And it's really encouraging. You talked about your four-year-old.
Yeah.
I look forward to, and I see the same with my nieces, but, it's a great nephew, whatever the term is, who's about that big and a little. But small.
Little great young. Nephew.
Yeah.
Nephew?
Yeah, nephew. Yeah, but great nephew.
Oh, okay, right.
That, in 15 years' time, in 20 years' time, that these kids are going to be having kids.
Yeah.
Mm. And but that they've grown up in an environment where, you know, gender diverse parents are there.
Yeah.
And this is the norm.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it is a matter of, you know, yes, we want it to change, but it's a matter of sort of waiting and as it happens. But what you're doing, you know, that's then taking it to a greater audience. It's not just that little family group. So what I'm saying is that in years to come, kids are going to be going, what? You mean people once thought that?
Yeah.
You know,
I can't believe that you wouldn't have been allowed to get married. Like,
And we're already starting to see some of that, aren't we? Mm, so it is
totally.
It's a very we're on that kind of cusp at the moment, which is really interesting. Yeah. No, absolutely.
In terms of the performance, so how long is it? What sort of...
It's about 50 to 55 minutes.
Okay.
Depending on how much people laugh.
Yeah.
How much need to wait
so probably 50.
Yeah.
I mean, 55, maybe 60.
Yeah.
No, we're not allowed to go that long. It's just under an hour.
And are you back at La Mama again?
No, we're actually in the Fringe Hub. So
okay,
we're
great.
In a little space called...
You've been invited.
We've been
invited. Ooh.
Yeah, we're in the Parlour Room, which is, it's only a 28-seater, so we've actually sold out our opening night already.
Great.
Second night is pretty, pretty full. This final Saturday is pretty full as well.
Yep.
We've got a super accessible, financially accessible show on the Tuesday. It's only $15, so it's
fantastic.
Half price tickets, yeah.
Yeah, which is really, really important, I think. And Fringe do such a great job of actually looking at all kinds of accessibility and that financial accessibility is so important.
It
as
is
well.
Important because there's so much good stuff out there too.
Yep.
So, like, it's hard to go, oh, which ones am I going to see? How many can I afford to see?
And as we're talking about with Kimberly, the arts are so important for people to actually go and actually, firstly, I mean, like any kind of, you know, creative expression, it's important to be able to see yourself reflected, but it's also important for people to go and learn new ideas. And that's what shows, I guess, like yours are aiming to do, is to show something that's different.
Something that's different and laugh a lot at the same time.
Yeah. And I was reading some of the reviews from your Midsummer show. People talking about the physical comedy. But apparently you're not circus performers, or you are circus performers?
We're not really circus performers. So
you're not joining Cirque du Soleil, is that what I'm hearing?
We haven't been invited to join Cirque du Soleil as yet. No. We're clowns. We're both trained clowns. So Kimberly, my co-deviser, co-performer, she trained in France at a school called Gaulier, which is one of the big clown schools.
It sure is, yeah.
And then we met, both training with this guy called John Bolton, who teaches a physical theatre school in Melbourne.
Yep.
So we've done lots of clown physical theatre stuff.
Fantastic. I think it sounds really good, Mac. What
it
about
does.
You?
It does. No, look, I think it's the diversity of Fringe, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the messages.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, people go there, and I think when you go to an arts performance, you're actually much more open to looking at a different point of view and, you know, understanding the issue. Obviously, you know, most people are not going there who are opposed to it. Right?
No.
No, but some of them might be on the fence here,
and
those people who are surprised by performances are quite...
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's a great thing. And, you know, Fringe, I haven't actually been to anything at Fringe for a long time. I'm going to have a look and see over the next, although I'm away most of the month, but, you know, what I can go to.
Yeah. Mm. I think the other really interesting thing for me, and you being a performer who has actually done both, is Fringe has actually kind of cropped up at this opposite time of the year to Midsummer, which is so great for LGBTI performers to be able to have two opportunities to sort of show their work, but then also two opportunities to show, even if they are just slightly different audiences. So, how was your experience, you know, with, I guess, Midsummer and Fringe? How are you finding, like, being a queer performer in Melbourne?
Oh, I mean, it's a great time to be a queer person in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And certainly, like, post the plebiscite, queer was in. It was very popular.
Yeah.
So, to put queer on all of your media releases is not a negative thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I graduated from acting school, I think, maybe 8 years ago, and we were still having conversations at that point about whether you would tell people that you were queer or not.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm so queer. not only am I proud just to say it anyway, but it's actually a positive thing in terms of going, hey, this is a queer show. It's going to be interesting. It's, you know, it's a good thing to bring your friends and family to.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you. No worries. It's great. Good luck with the show.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I hope it goes well for you.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, there's always that personal element, and that's great.
Yep, awesome. Thanks, Lily.
So thank you.
Thanks.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.